Well, if you'll take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 1 for our Bible study, on the sheet I gave you lots of blanks, and I was thinking as I got here, I should have done an overhead for you. It might have helped because you're always worried about getting the blanks when I give you blanks. And, I sort of go back and forth on this. I do think it can be a good learning tool, but then on the other hand, sometimes I am expecting you to read my mind, which doesn't always work. Okay, so we're going to focus on just one verse primarily in our chapter tonight. But we're going to take a big picture look at our chapter to get there. So just to start with, there, I want to give you an overview of the chapter, some key features. Maybe you know this. How many sentences are there in Greek in this chapter? Does anybody know? Oh, Maureen, you're almost there. No, not quite. There's three. Okay, so there, now, so notice in the, these are your first three blanks. The first two verses is the first sentence, and that is the greeting. Okay, that's not too hard. And then verses 3 through 14 is one long sentence in Greek. Now with Greek, you can just pile clause after clause after clause after clause, and there's no need to have a period. You just keep on going. So that's what they do, and what he was doing. And this gives us the theme. And I put in brackets the expanded theme. So the word expanded. It's a long celebration of the theme, what he wants to talk about in this epistle, at least especially in the doctrinal section, which will then have implications for the practical section at the end. Yes, Debbie? No, Greek is a language. Now, some people, I read one of the commentaries said this is the most complicated sentence in the Greek language. Okay, so Paul has an achievement there. But then, verses 15 to 23 is another long sentence, and this is his prayer. Okay, so that's very simple. Okay, so the greeting, the theme, and then the prayer. All right, so now we're going to read the whole thing, but especially in the second section, I want you to be listening and looking for a repeated phrase. So as we go, that's verses 3 through 14. You look for the repeated phrase. Then afterwards, we'll talk about what that is. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him, in love he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's the chapter. So in that middle section there, what is the phrase that is repeated? All right, you've got it. To the praise of his glory. So verse 6, verse 12, verse 14. That's repeated there in each of those six sections. So what does this phrase tell us? What sort of does it? What does it indicate to us about this long sentence? Oh, you're thinking about the meaning of the words. I'm just thinking about how it fits in the sentence. You're right about that, but that's not what I'm wanting you to see. There's a repetition here. So what is it doing in this sentence? Okay, Debbie got it there. She gets a gold star. I don't know, is that the first one ever? No, it's not. I'm just teasing, as I always do. Okay, so, no, it's dividing up the text. Okay, so there's three sections in this section. All right, so now that we've got that, there's these divisions. Look at each division. Who is each division focused on? So I've got 1, 2, 3 there. So let's see if you can figure these out. Verse 6 ends the division. So who is being focused on there? Verse 12 ends the division. Who's the focus there? And verse 13 and 14 are together. Who's the focus in that one? Well, is it? You have to look carefully. No, you're not getting that. That's not it. Nope. Anybody else want to try? I noticed my question. I said, who is each division focused on? So it's a who. Pardon me? Okay. Right. So the first one starts with God the Father. What does the next one start with? The Son. Okay. And then the third one? The Spirit. There you go. Okay. So Father, Son, and Spirit. Okay, so we're going to talk about all those divisions next time. And today what I want to focus on is verse 3. But before we do that, let's take a quick look at the greeting, verses 1 and 2. So, author is Paul. His office, what is his office? Apostle. Now, he qualifies that. He gives us a description. What's the description? Oh, that, well, yes, but... That's not the part of the description I want you to notice. By the will of God. Okay, so I've got a comment from a commentary I'll read you in just a second, which is related to that. He was an apostle by the will of God. Okay, so that part I want you to notice. All right, who are the recipients? The saints at Ephesus, right. All right, now, when it says, it says, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. What does that phrase communicate? Think about what he's saying. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. What does it sound like? That's the question, isn't it? Does it imply that some aren't faithful? Okay, so here's one where we want to notice the italics. Notice the words who are in italics. So they're being supplied by the translator. And I think, again, that sometimes confuses things rather than helping things. But literally what it says here is two believers. Faithful is literally the word believers. Two believers in Christ Jesus. And so it's just a renaming of the saints. Who are the saints? They're believers in Christ Jesus. Okay. So that's just a little thing to observe. Now, what does Paul mean to say about God by offering grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ? And the Lord Jesus Christ? expresses God's goodwill to the believers, but I'm just talking about the phrase. What does he mean to say about God by offering grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ? That they're one, that they're equal. Okay? So, yes. Well, you said one and not equal, so. I have equal in my notes. I'm just kidding. Okay. All right, so a few observations from the commentaries. And I'm not trying to look for something really deep here. I'm just trying to get some surface things. I think these are fairly obvious things. But as we're thinking about this, he's writing to Christians. He's writing to the people at this church in Ephesus. It might be a circular letter. We talked about that earlier. But he's writing to believers. That's an important thing to note. And he is also... believers are people who we look at God the Father and God the Son, and that is God. We're not saying, and the Spirit as well, of course. There are people who claim to be Christians that believe that there are no distinct persons in the Godhead, and they deny the Trinity. Well, they're not Christians. Okay? There's a church called the Church of Christ, which believes that. Not the Church of Christ. But anyway, there are churches that do. Unitarians are one, okay. And there is a church that is similar to the Church of Christ, but I don't quite remember the exact name of it. But they deny the Trinity. They aren't Christians. You can't be a Christian if you deny the Trinity. This is a very important point. It's fairly simple, but it's just implied. It's just part of our the assumption, or even of the way Paul greets these believers. All right, so where am I? Oh, I switched my page. Okay, so a couple of things from the commentaries. Apostle by the will of God. The strong term for will employed is of rare occurrence outside of the Septuagint. That's what LXX means, and the New Testament. His divine commission was never long absent from the apostle's thoughts. He has not run without being specifically sent. So I think that's an important observation. This is a very strong word, by the will of God, by the determined will of God. All right? He's an apostle. And then another commentator says, it is worth noticing that grace comes first, then peace. This is always the order. Only after grace has dealt with the sin question can peace be known. So we need God's grace. If we're going to have peace from God, we need God's grace. A lot of people want peace, but they don't want grace, because that means they have to acknowledge their sins. And so that's a few things from the opening. All right, so now we're going to spend time with this, the blessing, this theme, as I call it. Verse 3, what word root is repeated 3 times in this verse? Blessed, or blessing. It says, so it occurs 3 times. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In English, I guess the root is bless, but there is a root in Greek, but you don't need to know that. It's exactly the same, just like English has different words off of the root bless, so the Greek has different words off of this root. Okay, I put in a grammar lesson here. Okay, can you tell from the English which part of speech we have with each occurrence? Now, it's a little harder in English. You can, if you look and think about what's being said here, you can figure it out. But in Greek, they have word endings, so it's easier to tell in the Greek. Okay, so you want to try? Yeah, go ahead. Okay, it's not a verb. It's an adjective. So the verb is be. Okay, blessed be. Okay, the verb is be. Well, Kaylee probably should be the one answering this. All right, so what's the next one? What's the next one? A verb, okay, that's the verb. Has blessed. And then what's the last one? Noun. That's right. Very good. Okay, so you got it. You've passed your test, and some of you, you just sort of went along with the crowd, and that's fine. Okay, so, but it's interesting because when you think about what he's saying, he's using this same word sort of in a circle. So we're blessing God who has blessed us, right? So that's what the verse is saying. So the basic idea of this word root is speaking well of or saying a good word. Okay, saying a good word. Which direction is the good word pointed in the first two instances? Okay, first is pointed up to who? God. Blessed be God. All right, so then what's the second one? Who has blessed us? Which way is that pointing? To us, right? It's pointing out to all the saints, all right? So there's this, that's what I said. There's this circle. We're blessing God who has blessed us. That's the reciprocal blessing. So the last instance refers to the blessing from God to the saints. Here it is modified by the word spiritual. So that's where it says, God has blessed us with what? With every spiritual blessing. So the blessing, the good word to us from God, is called a spiritual blessing. What is a spiritual blessing? So I have a little hint here. You can read ahead in the rest of this long sentence to see several spiritual blessings mentioned. Well, what is a spiritual blessing? This is a bit of a tougher. This is a tougher question. Okay. Marilyn? Right. Okay. It's a slightly different word, but there is something there that you could catch. Anybody else want to try something on this? What is a spiritual blessing? Why does he use the word spiritual here? Okay, adoption as sons is one of it. What is that? What kind of a blessing is that? Okay, our position, our spiritual position in Christ. Now, so what would be, before we go back to this, we'll come back to this question, because I want to be sure you get this. I think it's an important part of the verse. Okay, so let's look at where are the spiritual blessings located. Notice I put located in quotes. Where are they located? In the verse. In the heavenlies, in the heavenly places. Sorry, I'm always going to drag you back to the verse. It is true that there are spiritual blessings in our hearts, but he's saying the word is actually literally in the heavenlies. Okay, so I think places is it italicized? Yes. So it's all right. So if you think about that, we have spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. What would the opposite of spiritual blessings be? What would the opposite of spiritual blessings be? Now, this isn't in the text. This is where you have to think. Earthly blessings. So what would an earthly blessing be? Property, riches. Okay, what else? Health. Okay. Pardon me? Title. Okay, honor. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Okay, yes. Okay, so now let's go back to that one. Where I asked, what are spiritual blessings? What is a spiritual blessing? Now you think about what an earthly blessing is. What is a spiritual blessing?
Redemption.
Redemption, okay.
There would be things like what Christ has done for us, joy.
Right. So the fruit of the Spirit. Our position in Christ, she's mentioned adoption, redemption, all of these things are spiritual blessings. All right? And this is a very important part of what Ephesians is about, the spiritual blessings, okay, in the heavenly places. Now, does God, go back down there, what would the opposite of spiritual blessings be? Earthly blessings. Does God give us the opposite blessings as well? Does God give us earthly blessings? Yes. Does God give us every earthly blessing?
No.
No, he does not, because sometimes we're sick. Some people linger long with sickness, and then they die. Okay, so that's not an earthly blessing. Okay, now you may gain some spiritual blessings through the experience, but it is not, that is not an earthly blessing. Okay? Now, but God does give us every spiritual blessing. Look what the text says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. God does give us every spiritual blessing. Why do you think that is? Now, there's no one right answer for this. Why do you think God gives us every spiritual blessing? He's generous, okay? All right. For the sake of his son, all right? Anything else? Right. That's right. So we live in a fallen world, so therefore we don't get all physical, earthly blessings. But spiritual blessings are in the new world. They're the part of, remember how the Holy Spirit that God has given to us is, in another place it says He is the deposit of the Spirit. He's the down payment, right? That's a little bit of heaven. So all the spiritual blessings are the things that we have in heaven. But He says He has given them to us right now. So right now you are experiencing, if you're a believer, some bit of heaven. You have the joy of the Spirit. You have the adoption of sons. You have the privilege of access to the Father. You have, you know, we can go on and on of things that you have. And there's, you read through this chapter or this long sentence and you will see blessings that you have. And you say, yes, that's me. Yes, that's me. I have that. Okay. Because, and it's in the unfallen world. It's in the heavenly places. So you have a foot in heaven already is what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense? Okay, so now I also put here the spiritual blessing focused on here are universal blessings for every Christian. So I have a few comments from commentaries to wrap up with, a few observations. Ephesians 1:3 states the epistle's theme, the Christian's riches in Christ. So that's Wiersbe's theme. And of course, Wiersbe, as I said, he's always has a succinct way of putting things. I do like him for that, so. That's a great blessing. All right, so then on blessing. Now, there's a lot of, I debated whether to give you this whole quote because there's a lot of technical stuff in it. Okay, so I hope you can look past that technical stuff, especially at the beginning. So he's talking about this word. This is a verbal form of the adjective praise at the beginning of the verse. Okay, the verbal form blessing, the blessings. Okay. The verb means to speak well of, to eulogize, to extol. Here it means to benefit or prosper. Now here's the point that I wanted you to see. That first bit is just defining the name of the word, or the meaning of the word. This word is not used in classical Greek literature. For example, Zeus is not said to have bestowed any specific act of blessing on anyone. Rather, he is said to have caused good luck or good fortune. But God gives us blessing. God speaks well of us. God eulogizes us. That is the Greek word, by the way. Eulogeo, eulogy. Okay? The verb eulogeo is used over 400 times in the Old Testament, indicating that God bestows benefits to His children in every age. Mary was said to be blessed, eulogized among women, and to be bearing the blessed child, the well-spoken child. All right? So, this blessing, this is what God is doing for us. This relationship we have with God. It's this is such a tremendous book. I've heard people preach on this book before, and it is, there's so much in here. This is another book. Maybe I should have preached on it myself sometime, but that's what we're doing. We're doing a study on it anyway. So next one, Tom Constable. Spiritual blessings are benefits that relate to our spiritual life in contrast to our physical life. In Israel, God's promised blessings were mainly physical, but in the church, they are mainly spiritual. So with Israel, God said, this do and live, and He means primarily live in the land. You'll be prosperous, you'll have good crops, you'll have long life, etc., etc. And that was the promise to Israel in the Old Testament. There were spiritual blessings in the Old Testament as well, but in the New Testament, it is turned around. The blessings, the believer has every spiritual blessing. And sometimes not so much earthly blessings. Okay? So that's the difference. All right, then the last one, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. It was He who procured them for us through His finished work at Calvary. Now they are available through Him. Everything that God has for the believer is in the Lord Jesus. In order to receive the blessings, we must be united to Christ by faith. The moment a man is in Christ, he becomes the possessor of them all. And that's the point I've been sort of belaboring as we've been going through this study. Now, any questions after what we've said so far? Rob has his hand up.
So in verse 3, it was talking about spiritual blessing.
Yes.
Is that verse sort of leading up to or a preamble to the next group of verses?
Yes.
Okay, because it sort of talks about what some of them blessed.
That's exactly that. Okay, so that's a good question. I should have pointed that out. Yes, this is sort of like a header. You know, you'll have a, or you have a, if you've got an outline, this is the point number one in the outline, this verse. And then everything else in this paragraph, all the way to verse 13, is related to these blessings. And now, it is, next week we're going to look at the first section, and it is related to that first section, but we can also say when we go to the second section that these spiritual blessings are again sort of the context or the theme of that next section as well. So that's a good observation. All right, Marilyn, you wanted to ask something.
I think about the word luck. Everybody, non-Christians always say, oh,
yes.
Luck.
Yes.
So for the Christian, it would be more appropriate to say, oh, I have God's blessing.
Yes, that's
what
right.
What about, I had good fortune? Is that bad too?
Well, yeah, I mean, there are...
I was fortunate,
yeah. Well, I wouldn't say it's bad, but the thing is, I guess it is true that we are blessed by God. I think it's better to say that. You know, it's not, like if we give the glory to God for the things that we have done in our lives, or that have, the good things that have happened. It's interesting to note there were a couple of athletes in the Olympics who were very forthright. Now, I don't know what kind of Christians they were, but they are very forthright in saying that they give glory to God for their ability to participate. So I appreciate that testimony. That's a good testimony. And that's the idea. It's not, and they didn't say, oh, it's all the hard work. Oh, it's all, or I was lucky. You know, some people might say they were lucky. No, it is God's blessing. And I have taken advantage and worked hard at it or whatever to enjoy that blessing. All right. So that's good. All right. Any other questions or comments? All right, so the next verse, the next two verses, there's a couple of words in there that are going to be a little bit exciting as we look at them. So we may not get finished next week, but it's the word chosen and the word predestinated. All right, so we'll have to talk about all those words and see what God is saying to us about that, because those are spiritual blessings. Okay, all right, so let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll have our song. Our Father, we thank You for this study tonight. Lord, I pray that as we continue to look in Ephesians, that we will receive understanding and the blessing. And Lord, that our hearts would be knit closer to You because of what we study in Your Word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.